Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Two lines from the Ba'an Tanya Beis Shammai Omrim. Beis Shammai teaches us that Mekaneach, after somebody eats dairy, he has to rinse out his mouth. The way rinsing Mekaneach is done is with eating something. Beis Omrim Mediach, the way you clear out your mouth is by rinsing it with a liquid. Ask the Gemara so right away, my mekaneach or my mediach. What is the definition of mekaneach? What is mediach? Ilema, if you say that Beshama Oimrim, that Beshama's opinion is the mekaneach, that it, the only thing you could do is, between dairy and meat, is eat something, v'loy mediach, and not rinse your mouth, because it will be Beshama's opinion that rinsing your mouth is not effective. And Beisil Oimrim, and Beisil's opinion is Mediach, that you should rinse your mouth and not eat anything. Ella asked the Gemara if that's the way we're going to understand the machloikis of Beis Shammai. And Beisil asked the Gemara, El Hodam Rav Zeir, this the Rav Zeir taught us, En Kinuach Peh, the eating something between meat and dairy only works but pass only if you eat bread, because the bread that's eaten between the dairy and the milk is what rids the mouth of any dairy residue. So we see that he paskins that you have to eat something, but according to the way we're learning now, that is the opinion of Beis Shammai. And as often as is often found throughout Shas, the Gemara finds it very difficult to assume that anybody would paskin like Beis Shammai. Come on, does that mean to say that he's following the opinion of Beis Shammai? Because according to Beis Hillel, we're learning, kinuach is not required at all, just rinsing. Ella says the one because of this question, Beis Shammai amrim, mekaneach, you have to eat, v'loy mediach, and there is no need to rinse. Well, Beis Hillel Oimrim, and Beis Hillel's opinion is af mediach. So according to this opinion, everybody is in agreement that you have to eat something, and that is a machloikis if you also need to rinse. And Beis Shammai's opinion is going to be that eating alone is sufficient, and Beis Hillel's opinion is going to be that you have to eat and rinse. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to understand this Gemara. So we have here now again a situation of Havalei Mikula Beis Shammai Mechum Beis Hillel. So this again should be an example where Beis Shammai is the lenient opinion, and he says that eating is enough, and Beis Hillel's opinion is that you also have to rinse. And if that's the case, as we mentioned in the previous year, listenei, it should have been mentioned in Masechta Idyos, where the Mishnayos list all the cases which are Kulei Beis Shammai and Chumrei Beis Hillel. Answers the Gemara. Ella, says the Gemara, the way to understand this entire Gemara is that Beis Shammai and Mekaneach, that you could eat something in between, and V'hu'ad Dilem Adiyach. Not only is eating required, but rinsing is required as well. And on the other hand, Beis Hillel, I remember Beis Hillel's opinion is, Mediach, rinse your mouth with water, V'hu'ad Dilem Mekaneach, you have to eat something. And therefore, there's no machloikis, says the Gemara. Rather, the way it happens in this Gemara is the Mara Machada, Mara Machada. Each one of them mentioned one of the things that the halacha requires to be done. V'loy pligi, one mentioned the halacha of mediach, of rinsing, and one mentioned the halacha of eating. So according to Rashi, and that's the way the Rif and Tosfos learn, you have to do both. However, the Rashba has a different way of learning the Gemara, that what they both mean to say is that you have a choice. You could do mekaneach, or you could do mediach. You could pick and choose which you want to do. The Shulchan Aruch says that not only does the Shulchan Aruch seem to say that you should do both, but it seems that the opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that you should specifically go in the order of first Kinuach and then Hadocha. However, the Beis Yosef quotes that Hagos Maimonides that says in the name of the Maram that it doesn't make a difference which goes first and which goes second. They both are required, but they don't pick one. I saw that the Bava Rebbe says that many times we have in Shas a machloikis tanoim amaroim, and the concept that we often learn is elav elav divrei elokim chayim. They're both correct. So he quoted his father, the Kedushas Siyan, that when the Gemara says, like we just learned in the Gemara, ma'am mechada v'loy pligi, the word chada, the Rosh Tevis of the word chada, are divrei elokim chayim. And this is a representation that there really is no significant mechloikis. They're both really just coming to say the emes. They're both coming to say the emes, and they both actually agree. Says the Gemara Gufa, Amma Rav Zeira en kinuach aper. When we speak about kinuach, it means bepas. You have to eat bread. However, says the Gemara, furthermore, for hanimili, when we speak about bread, dalocha, when we speak about bread, is bread that's made out of chiti. It's made out of wheat. Ava b'desari, if it's made out of barley, loy. With the chiti nami, and even when we speak about wheat bread, loy amaran el bekriri, only when it's cool. Ava chamimi, that if the bread is warm, right after it was baked, their halach is mishtashtari. The bread becomes very soft because of the heat, and it doesn't have the ability to clear out. It doesn't have the ability to clear out everything that's in the mouth. The hanimili, rikika, but also the bread has to be soft and fresh. Av bakusha, if the bread is too hard, then again, loy, it won't be acceptable. Says the Gemara Vahilchsa, but the halacha is, b'chol mili av kinuach, any type of food can be used to accomplish kinuach. L'vah mekimcha, flour, tamri is dates, v'yako or vegetables. They are, the way the Rishonim explain, way too soft, and because they're so soft, then it won't really accomplish anything. The Shulchan Aruch also says that one has to choose. You have to chew the food that you're using for kinuach. And also, the Pesachei Tshuva says, besides chewing the food, you should be careful to swallow the food. But he gives a whole new explanation why he's indicating that you should swallow the food. Because he explains, if you're going to just use it for the purpose of being there between the meat and dairy and not swallow it, it's going to end up that you had bal tashkes, the food will have gone to waste. Kama yisha ben basal gvina. If somebody ate meat, how much time does he have to wait when he eats dairy? Amale, so he says, he doesn't have to wait at all. The Gemara Pasha Pshad is that immediately after eating the meat, eating one, you could eat the other. Says the Gemara, is that true? Any Vam Rav Chisda, did Rav Chisda not teach us that Ocha Basav, somebody ate meat, Asa Lechel Gvina, then you're not allowed to eat dairy immediately afterwards. Gvina, but if you ate cheese, then Mutal Lechel Basav, you may eat meat afterwards. Because the taste of the cheese goes out of your mouth immediately. And that is a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and the Rambam, as we're about to learn, after eating meat, we're now allowed to eat dairy. What's the reason? So Rashi says that the concern is that meat keeps a taste in the mouth. And Rambam learns that the concern is that there may be particles of meat that are still between the teeth. And as the Torah explains, if we look at these two explanations by the Rishonim, the Rashi, and the Rambam, there's a big nafka minus. What's going to be halacha if somebody swallowed meat, but he swallowed it down? So we don't have to worry about the teeth, but we have to worry about the taste. Or what would be the halacha if somebody just chewed some meat but didn't swallow it? There may be problem of meat between the teeth, but there's no concern of taste left because you didn't really chew it and eat it. And of course, the most important question, which comes up presumably the most often, is if somebody ate meat, and as we're going to learn, you wait 6 hours after you ate the meat, but when you're about to eat the meat after the 6 hours, the dairy after the 6 hours, you notice you still have pieces of meat between your teeth. What is the halacha? Do you have to wait 6 hours until you get that meat out? What does the halacha say that you already waited 6 hours and it's enough? And the halacha, some sofer says it very clearly, is that you have to clean out the teeth after you eat the meat, before you want to eat dairy, but you will not have to wait 6 hours from when you clear out the meat. Just clear it out and you can eat it right away. Ella, says the Gemara, the question, says the Gemara accordingly now, Rav Ashi's question was not about eating dairy after meat. The question was, Kama Yisha ben Gevina Labasar, how much time do you have to wait after eating dairy to be able to eat meat? Amalei, to which he said, V'loi klum, you don't have to wait. Rather, after you do kinuach v'adocha, you could eat the meat after the dairy. Gufa, and says the Gemara of Chizda Misha Ocha Basar, if somebody ate meat, Asa lechel gvina, he may not eat cheese, but until he waits, and we'll speak soon more about how much time that represents. But if he ate gvina, if he ate dairy, muta lechel basar, he could eat meat right afterwards. What will be with the meat that's between your teeth? Is that considered like it's meat and you'll have to wait until it's removed? Or if you don't have to, says the Gemara. Karilei, the Pasuk says, Abasa Adana Ben Shnayim. He says the meat that's in the mouth is still considered meat. And therefore, as we said before, it has to be removed, but you don't have to wait 6 hours, but you do have to make sure that it's removed. Amar Marukva, says Marukva, a comment. Anola HaMilsa, the halacha that we're going to now learn, is Kechala B'chamer L'gaba Abba. The comparison between me and my father is like the comparison between vinegar and wine. Dila Abba, my father, Kiava Ocha Bisra Idna, if he ate meat today, Le'avel Ocha Gvina Adlamachar Hashta, he would wait 24 hours till he would eat dairy. Vila no, and I, Bahasuduso Dulachilna, if I eat meat in a meal, I won't eat dairy in that meal, Lesuduso Achrina, but right afterwards, I will eat. So Tosfos says that the way Tosfos learns and the Ravya learns, that what they learn the Gemara very simple. And they learn the Gemara saying that you have to finish a meal. But as soon as you finish the meal and you complete the meal, you could eat a meat meal, you could eat a dairy meal. And the Taz says that it's not enough that you decided that you ended the first meal and you're ready for the second meal. You have to bench and then showing that you finished the first meal and then you can immediately eat dairy the next meal. The Rambam and the Rashba and the Balita and the Rush and the Rosh all have to say that it was the amount of time they waited between the meal they ate in the morning and the meal that they ate at night. And the Rambam tells us that that's 6 hours. The Mashal says that the it's not a hard and fast rule. He says that from the Rambam, it says that you have to wait 6 hours. So presumably, according to the Rambam, if it's 6 hours, even though it's not a new meal, you would be allowed to eat dairy. But the Rashal says, the Gemara says that you have to wait, that you have to also make sure it's a different meal. So of course, the obvious question when one learns the Gemara is that we know we have an obligation to follow our parents' menhagim. So how could we have a situation that Mar Ukva says that my father waited 24 hours and I waited 6 hours? So the number of pshatim that I saw, one pshat was that his father had taken a chumrah upon himself, but that wasn't a chumrah that he was prepared to take. Another pshat is that his father indeed only ate one meal a day. And because he only ate one meal, a day, so if the halacha is you have to wait from one meal to the next meal, it's 24 hours. He ate meals more often. And since he ate meals more often, that's why he only had to wait the 6 hours or from one meal to another meal, as we quoted Rishonim. But many Mefarshim use this Gemara, because if we learn this Gemara by Hashkafa Rishonah, it's sort of difficult to understand this Gemara, how he did not follow his father's minig. And many Mefarshim take the approach in understanding this Gemara that when somebody accepts upon himself to do something or not do something, it's critical that he recognize if he's on the Madrega to do what he accepted. It's not just that somebody should take chumras upon himself. Those chumras have to be chumras that are consistent with who he is halachically. I saw the Chiddush HaRem, when he would explain this Gemara, would explain that it is our obligation, the first obligation that we always have to have is to look for the Midas HaEmes, for what is true. And if you don't believe that you're on the Madrega, for example, that we're going to have now, we're going to have other examples, to wait 24 hours. So don't just wait 24 hours because it's something that's right to do. What you should do is follow, you should do the minig. If the minig oilam is to wait 6 hours, you shouldn't take upon yourself a chumrah that you're not really ready to be on that, you're not really ready on that madrega. In fact, I saw the Sefer Chashuki Chemed has a very interesting discussion. The Gemara, he says, in Masechta Chulin, in the beginning of our Masechta, on Dav Zayin Amud Beis, says, Amar Lavar Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yor, they said regarding Ben Pinchas Ben Yor, Ben Yaman Lai Batz Al Pritzu Shein Shaloi. He never ate even a piece of bread that really did not belong to him. From when he became mature, he never wanted to have any benefit from anyone else, even from his father. So now the question is, he discusses, we know, as we just mentioned, that this Marukva did not follow the minig of his father. So why, explains Rabbi Yoshev, is that? He said that if you're not on that madrega, then you shouldn't do something that you're not ready to do. And therefore he explains, even if you have a father who's a big baal madrega, and he doesn't take matanas, son of matanas mechia, he won't take any matanas from anyone else. If you're not on that madrega, then you shouldn't just follow that, because that's what my father did. And he even goes on to say that that becomes part of the responsibility of parents. He says it's responsibility of parents to know who their children are. And if their children, even if the parents have a certain minig, and they don't have that, and they don't think their children are ready for that minig, then they shouldn't have their children follow that minig. Says Shmuel, the behavior that we're about to learn. He again comments, I am chalab achamra l'gaba amba. I am like vinegar compared to wine. Dil abba have a sign that's a trade zim to be yoyma. My father would examine all of his assets twice a day to make sure if anything is needed. I only did it once a day. Because Shmuel atamei, Dom Shmuel man decide that's a kol yoyma. If somebody examines his assets every day, Mishkach Istra, he'll always find some way he can make profit. He'll find something that is a place that he could save money. So the Mashal says that the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is, as we learned earlier when we spoke about Yaakov Avinu, Tzadikim Chavalei Manu Yosna Gufam, Tzadikim are very concerned about their assets. They're very careful not to take money that doesn't belong to them. And therefore, since Avud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, was so careful, therefore he didn't want to lose any money, and he looked at his assets twice a day. His son Shmuel, as we're learning throughout our shiur now, wasn't on that madrega, and since his son wasn't on that madrega, he only did it once a day. There are mefarshim who take a different approach to this Gemara, and their approach to this Gemara is what the Gemara means to say is, we know that a person is supposed to do a cheshbon nefesh. A person is supposed to take account and stock, where is he up to? And what the Gemara is saying, that Shmuel's father was on the madrega, that he did a cheshbon nefesh twice a day, whereas Shmuel wasn't on that madrega to do a cheshbon nefesh twice a day, and therefore he only did it once a day. The Sefer Masa Ish says that he was saying it has a whole different explanation. His explanation is that when somebody constantly is inspecting his assets, it's very likely that he's going to find problems. A person who's about a muna, the problems that he finds don't faze him because they know that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas Shmuel says, I'm not strong enough that if I'm going to keep on seeing problems, it won't have an effect on me, and that's why I only look once a day. Says the Mara, Abaya have a sign next to Kol Yom V'Yoma. Abaya would inspect his assets every day. One day he met his sharecropper that was carrying wood that he stole from Abaya's property. So he asked him, where are you taking this wood? I'm taking it to your house. He, of course, did not want to admit you caught me stealing. The Rabbonon who told us that we have to check our assets, I would have caught you that way. Another pshat, which again is very much in line with what we're learning, that Darise here means the Yetzirah. And he saw that the Yetzirah was trying to get him to Chas V'Shalom doing something wrong. And he said that I, because of my behavior, I'm in a madrega, that I'm always watching myself and examining myself and know if I did an Avera or not. Rav Asi would inspect all of his assets daily. And he said, where's all the money that Shmuel spoke about? Shmuel told us that by investigating every day, you're going to make money. But says the Gemara, one time he saw a hole in the pipe, and he saw that there was a flood, and he took his coat, and like that he closed up the hole. He put the coat, the garment that he was wearing, into that hole. Ramakala, and he raised his voice to get people to come help him. Also, Inchi Sechrua, and people came and helped him close up the leak. He says, indeed, I was able to find all of those lost money that Shmuel speaks about. This that we have to wash our hands before we eat, mitzvah. Achroinim, as we're going to learn in our sugya today, the sugya of Mayim Achroinim, he says, that's chayva. And the way Tosfos, quoting the Rebbeinu Tam, that says, what's the difference between mitzvah and chayva? He says, for example, if somebody is in a situation, he's in war, or a situation where it's impossible to find water for Mayim Rishonim, the halacha is that he could, it's a mitzvah, and therefore he doesn't have to wash his hands. However, when the Gemara, he says, uses the word chayva, what the Gemara means to say chayva is that it's not optional. And if you don't have it, you can't eat if you're not going to have water for Mayim Achroinim. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Mayim Rishonim, May Rishonim, May Achroinim, chayva, only emtsoim, when you go from one dish to the other dish. So there's a lot of pshatim. What does it mean you go from one dish? Some Rishonim explain, as we've been discussing in Ashir, when you go from meat to milk, or milk to meat, to dairy, you have to make sure that your hands are clean, because otherwise you're going to get the other type of food into your mouth. Others say that has nothing to do, this part of the Gemara has nothing to do with meat and milk. Rather, the way to understand this Gemara is when they used to eat with their hands, and their hands got dirty, so the obligation is to wash off their hands before they eat something else. But that's only Rishus. So ask the Gemara, what do we see here that he said before that's a chayva, and now it's a mitzvah, says it's a chayva. It says mitzvah l'gab Rishus. We're comparing it to the Mayim Mitzayim, and when we compare it to the Mayim Mitzayim, it's considered chayva karali. There's a very important lesson that I saw in the Mefarshim that explained the Sefer Avos Yisrael. You know, if we learn the Gemara simply, we see that we have to wash our hands before we eat, we have to wash Mayim Achroinim. Washing our hands in between is sort of voluntary. But the Gemara is telling us that in Halacha, there is no voluntary. And in Halacha, everything is required to do. There's different categories, but everything is either what the Halacha tells us to do or the Halacha tells us not to do. Go for Mayim Achroinim, or Mayim Achroinim Chayva, and Tzayim Rishus, says the Gemara. Furthermore, Rishonim Noitim Bein Mekli Bein Agav Karka. When it comes to Mayim Rishonim, you could spill the water into another keli, or you could spill it on the ground. Achroinim, but Mayim Achroinim Ein Noitim El Bekli. They have to be poured into the kli. However, V'amri Lo, and some say Ein Noitim El Agav Karka, that the halacha is that Mayim Achroinim should not be put on the floor. Says on my benayu, what's the difference between these two versions? Says the Gemara, ikibenayu, the nafkamina will be kinsa if you have pieces of wood on the floor. According to the first version, you're not allowed to do that because you're not washing them into, you're not pouring them into a keli. According to the second version, you're not putting it on the ground. And since you're not pouring on the ground, it's not a problem. And in fact, the Magen Avraham says, if you have a floor that's not made of earth, out of dust, it's made out of flooring, whatever, the halacha is that you're going to be allowed to wash my machroinim. However, I saw a different pshat that does not allow it to be washed on the floor, because if all the my machroinim are gathered together in one place, that could cause chas v'sholem for ruach ra to gather there. So the way we're able to avoid the ruach ra is by not pouring it in one space, rather have it spread out. And therefore, even if the floor is not made of earth, one should be careful unless the Mayim Achroinim will spread out. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Mayim Rishonim, Noitlim Bein Chamim Bein Tzoinim. For Mayim Rishonim, you can use whether warm water or cold water. Achroinim, but Mayim achronim ein oitlin el tzonim could only use cold water. Nei shamayim mefapenes yadayim. The hot water softens up the hands. And it won't get rid of any dirt, which we're going to learn is the main reason for mayim achronim. Mayim achronim, says the Gemara, we just learned in the Braisa, the mayim achronim, Mayim Hashanim could use both hot and cold water, to which the Gemara comments, Omer Rav Yitzchak by Yosef, Omer Rav Yanai, Loi Shonu, Alashay Nayad, Sledes Behen. They're not that hot that the hand will get burnt. Avol Yad Sledes Behen. If they are so warm that the hot, that the hand will get burnt, Ein Neitlem Behem, we shouldn't even use such hot water for Mayim Rishonim. So most Rishonim say that, as we just said, so hot that it will burn the hand. Says the Magen Avraham, or ask the Magen Avraham, if it's so hot that the hand's going to get burnt, why would the Gemara need to tell us that you shouldn't use it? Is anybody going to wash his hands, ask the Magen Avraham, with water that's going to burn his hand? And therefore, that it means not that it's so hot that it'll burn your hand. Water that's so hot that will burn your hand, it goes without saying that you may not use. But the Gemara means to say that it's so hot that your hand won't easily absorb such hot water. Ikdem Asnaya Sefer. But some say this discussion is regarding the end of the Braisa. The end of the Braisa says, Echroinim ain't noitin labat seinim, that for my mechroinim we should use cold water, avacham and loy, but not hot water, to which Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef says, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yanai, loy shanal shiad, seledes behen. That's the type of water that you should avoid using for my mechroinim. Aval ain hayad, seldom behem, if it's not yad, seledes, noitin. But still, the Paiskim say that even though the Gemara is being lenient, if the water is not that hot, the halacha preferably is to use cold water. And if cold water is available, then that's what you should use. Mechal, the Rishonim Afipi, according to this version, says the Gemara, Mechal, from here we learn, the Rishonim Abishiyat Slesban, even if the water is very hot, mutter, you were allowed to use it. We learned Emtsoim, the water that's used to wash between the different dishes, Rishos. To which the Gemara comments, Amar Rav Nachman lo yishanu ein bein tafshil tafshil. If they're both meat or they're both dairy. Av bein tafshil legvina, between meat and dairy, then dalach is chayva, there's an obligation that you have to wash your hand, because there is a real concern that there might be the other type of food stuck to your hand, and therefore the halacha is that you must wash your hand. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Barei Rav Chia, Neima Amar Mayim Achronim Chayva. Why the Chazal teach us the Mayim Achronim is Chayva? Shemelech Sadoim is Yesh, because there was a type of salt called Melech Sadoimus, Shemesamus Einayim, that would cause the eyes to get blind, Chas V'Sholem. And as Rashi explains, this type of salt is very thin, dakumaoid, and therefore it sticks to the hands, and therefore you have to be most careful. The Tosfos opinion is that the main reason that you have to wash mayim achronim is, as the Gemara just says, because of mayim sadoimus, and therefore if you're in a time and a place where there is no melech sadoimus, then you don't have to wash mayim achronim. The Rambam seems to disagree. And the Rambam seems to say that the concern is Melech Sadoimus. So you live in a time and place where there's no Melech Sadoimus, you would not have to be concerned. But the Ramban says that the real primary reason why we wash Mayim Achronim is not because Melech Sadoimus. It's because of Kedusha, that the one should say Berachas Hamazon, one should say Berachas Hamazon with clean hands. And he bases it on a Gemara in Masech the Brachos, Daf Nun Gimel on a base, where the Gemara says, V'skadishtem elumayim rishonim, V'yisa gadoshim elumayim achronim. And therefore, it has nothing to do with salt. It has to do that one is about to make a bracha, therefore you have to wash Mayim Achroinim, and therefore, in every place, you have, even where there's no Malach Sodomis, you have to wash Mayim Achroinim. Omar Abaya, and Abaya says, Mishtache Kikurta Bakura. You have a very large amount of salt, a core of salt, and you can have just one drop of Malach Sodomis. Omar Rav Acha, Berei, to Ravel Rashi, Komelcha, if somebody measures salt, Mai, does he have to wash his hands after measuring the salt? Does he need to be concerned that in the salt there might have been Melech Sodomis? Amalei, and he responded, Lemeboye, that for sure you have to wash your hands. And the explanation why for certain you have to wash your hand is because even if you just had a little salt, the amount of salt that you have by a meal, we have to be concerned about Melech Sodomis. Certainly, so would be the halacha when you're measuring a large volume of salt, that you have to be concerned that there is Melech Sodomis there. The Gemara, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, another place that says that when one is eating, he has to be careful to say Dvar Torah on the table, say a Dvar Halacha on the table. And many suggest that the Dvar Torah that is appropriate to say that Mayim Achroinim Chayva. And they explain, because as we're learning in our Gemara, the need to wash Mayim Achroinim is so critical, so the best halacha I could say is Mayim Achroinim Chayva. Omer Bai Meresh Avamina, originally I said, Haidalei Moshe Mayim Basriel Ara, the reason they don't wash Mayim Achroinim on the earth, as we spoke about earlier, and Shem Zuma, because the water is dirty water. You don't want to have dirty water on your floor. Amalei Mar, that's not the reason. The reason is Mishum Deshar Alayu, my Ruach Ra Alayu. There's Ruach Ra on this water, and since there's Ruach Ra, we don't want it having sitting on our floors. From Abaye Meresh Avamina. Originally, I said Haidalei Shokel Midi Mipusar Kenoket Inshe Kosel Mishnei. This that the careful. When somebody's holding a cup of whatever on his hand, they should not take anything off the table. When somebody's holding a cup of whatever liquid and drinking, because we're concerned, Shem Yeradova Kakola Basuda. We have to be concerned that the person who's drinking will be unhappy that somebody's taking off the table because he wants it for himself. And while he's drinking and notices this, he will chas v'shalom choke. But Amalei Mar, and says the Gemara, the Rava actually told me, shem dekashel ruach tzarda. Somebody who does something like this could cause that this shed, and it's a kind of shed that could cause a person to become deranged, comes from somebody doing this. However, v'lai amara el deshakalai mahadar. It's only if the person is taking something from the table and doesn't give it back. Ava meshkule laduri, if he's going to put it back, less lambo, because that's not a problem. Furthermore, v'loy amaron el chutz la'aba amas, if he finds it more than 4 amas away from the table. Ava b'toich arba amas, again, because this is all shadim, reason for shadim, we don't necessarily understand this, less lambo. Furthermore, v'loy amaron el midat tzorek l'sudusoy, that if he took something which is needed for the meal, Ava midat l'tzorek l'sudusoy, if he took something that's not needed for the meal, less lambo. Says the Gemara, Ma bar Rashi kopi b'haver, Ma bar Rashi was upset if somebody would take is buchne v'tavli, if they took off the mortar with which they would grind the spices from the table, because they're considered midat tzorek l'sudusoy. People need this for the meal. They want that grinder available to grind spices. This that people are careful to gather together the crumbs after they eat, because they want the home to be clean. But Rav explained to me, if somebody leaves crumbs on the table, comes on the table, so that is a place that's obviously not clean, that's sloppy, and there's a special shade that appears in a place that's not neat and clean.
Says the Gemara, who gavet avakom mahadal ashar dan yusam. There was an individual that the malach, who chas v'shal makes poor people poor, was trying to affect him. V'lavi yachalei, he wasn't being successful. The kazara and the sharei tuva. He was very careful to clean off the crumbs. Yom echad, aruch rifte ayabli. One day, he was sitting on the grass, and he was eating bread. Amr, so this malach said to himself, hash the vadinof b'yodi, because if the crumbs fall into the grass, it's going to be impossible to pick them up. But that's not what happened. After this person finished eating, he came and he brought a shovel and he picked up all of the pieces of earth. He turned over the whole earth, that the earth, that the scrubbles should not be left that way. And at that point, Sham the Kamer, he heard the Malach saying, this person is so careful and he's so powerful that he's doing this that prevents any of poverty coming from his home. The reason not to drink the foam that's on top of a cup is Meshim Esusoi. It's not something nice to drink. Omele Mar, but he says, Rabbi taught me Shem Dekoshel Karsim. Somebody who drinks that foam causes some sort of disease that causes his nose to run. Mishte, if you drink the foam, says Mar Koshel Karsim, it causes this illness. Minchebe, if you blow it, Kashel Reisha, it causes that you'll have headaches. Mitchi, if you use your hand to push it away, kashla and yosai, it could chas v'shalom cause a person to be poor. So ask the Ramay Takante, what should a person do when there's foam in his cup? The halacha is, lishke shkua, let it subside until there is no foam. Says the Malakas l'chamra, somebody got this disease because he drank the foam that's on top of the cup of wine, shikra, he should drink beer. The shikra, if somebody drank the foam on top of the beer, maya, he should drink water. The maya, if there's foam on top of the water, less like the kanta, there is no remedy. And says the Marva Hainadam Rinchin, this is actually what people say, Bas Aniya Azla Insa. This Aniyusa, this person is able only to drink water. And from drinking the water comes a disease that he can't even fix. But I saw many explain, Basa Anya Azlan Yusuf, if we look at the letters of Oni, Aleph Nun Yud, and the Alabes, the letters that come after those words are Kesef. And what we're learning from here is that Basa and Yusuf, after Chas V'Shalom, somebody is in a bad place, then the halacha is that he will ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him, that he will have kesef. Another pshat is that we see that if something is broken, it's easier that it should break more. But something which is whole doesn't break so quickly. Basa and Yasa Azla is a simple, is another way of saying that poor people come. So poor people are more likely to become even more poor. Another pshat that says, we know that Rashi, the famous Rashi, says, "B'yoyse tzarcha kosel zayas b'mokem sheyesh chesaron kis." If chas v'shalom, somebody sees that he's in a downward cycle, that's where he has to be most careful to make sure he doesn't lose more. There's a very sharp part, Basa Niyasa Niya Azal, which means as this, that sometimes somebody will come to someone's home and ask him for some food. And the person says, I don't have enough for myself, I cannot share. And then after that person who asked for food to be shared leaves the home, then he takes out plenty of food and eats it. Basa Niyasa, after the poor person leaves, Basa Niyasa, after the poor person leaves, Azlan Yosef, my excuse that I'm poor sort of dissipates. Somebody should not pull out a vegetable that was tied together and eat it that way. But you should not. You should carefully untie it and then eat, not as if you're desperate to eat. Actually, the reason you shouldn't pull it out from the bunch is because it's a question of kshafim. Rav Chisna and Rav Rafuna have a kazla b'arba. Rav Chisna and Rav Rafuna were traveling on a boat. There was a non-Jewish woman with them. Can I sit with you? They refused. They didn't want to be together with this woman. Amra Milsa, and she said some kishif. Asrad Larban, she caused that the boat wasn't able to move. Amri Inu Milsa, they said something, and Sharyua, and all of a sudden, they were allowed to move. And of course, the Rishonim point out, of course, we know they were not allowed to do kishif. Here, they had no choice, and because they had no choice, they were allowed to do it. Amri Lahu, my Evelahu, says the Gemara. So she said to them, what should I do? That kishif cannot have any effect. Kishif cannot have any effect over you. And why not? You don't use earthenware to clean yourself when you use the bathroom. And if there's lice on your garment, you don't kill it. And as we just said, that you don't pull out a vegetable from the bundle that it's together. Originally, I said, this that we're careful to not to eat from a vegetable that fell off the table. If it falls off the table, it gets dirty. That's not the reason. The reason is kosh l'recha peh. It causes bad breath. A person should not sit under a gutter where water is dripping, because maybe dirty water will hit him. Amalei Mar, to which Rava said, Bishim the Shchicha Mazikim. That space is a place where there is Mazikim. Hanishakloi, people who carried cargo, Davidara Chavita Techamra, they were carrying a barrel of wine from one place to another place. Boil Lesvuche, the people wanted a rest. Oisatuse Maraziva, and they put the barrel under the gutter where water was dripping. And Paka, and it broke. Also Kameda Baba Ravashi, they came to Ravashi, Afuke Shaimri, he took out a shayf of a shamti, and he put the mazik into Chayrim. Also Kamei, Amalei Amai Tavad Hachi, and he came, this shed came to Baba Ravashi, and he asked him, why'd you do this? Amalei, so the mazik said, Heichi Evid Ki Yosu Benosi, why are you angry at me? They came into my territory. Says the Gemara, so Rav Ashi said to him, Amalei, at v'duchta d'shchich rabin, my boss, why are you in a place where many people are finding themselves? Says the Gemara, at hu shenisa, you did something wrong by sitting where you shouldn't have sit. Zil v'shalom, and go pay these people who carried the barrel, and you broke it for the damages. Amalei, hashta nami, likvili ma'azimna. So he said, I can't pay right away. Give me a payment date. Vefra, and I will pay. Kavalei zimna. And they made up a date. Kimata zimna. And when the time came, Yaakov, he didn't come pay up his debt. Kiyasa, when he finally came, Amalei amailoi sisba zimna. He asked him, why didn't you come at the time we made up that you're going to come? Amalei, call me the tzayev, chosu, v'kali money. Everything that's packaged, or sealed, or measured, or counted, leslan shuslam miskumenei, I have no right to touch. Ad mishkachina mididavkeira, only something that's left hefker do I have a right to touch. And I couldn't find anything hefker until this moment, and that's why don't be upset that it did not come till now.